Please be seated. Author Jack Levinson tells a story about a conversation he had with his son. It was this time of year, a few years ago, and the conversation was just about normal stuff, the events of the day. But it was during that conversation that Jack spied the remnants of an Easter basket on the top shelf in the corner of his son's room. "Can I have a jelly bean?" Jack asked his son. "They're all gone," the son said, "even the black ones." And Jack suddenly realized that that was it. It was official. No more jelly beans meant Easter was over, both literally and figuratively. The tomb has been empty for a while. The majesty, the magnificence, the miracle of Easter are past. And pretty soon we as the church will enter into that long summer of what is often unfortunately called ordinary time. What a letdown. But not yet. Not yet. Today we celebrate Pentecost, the middle child of Christian holidays, wedged between Easter and Christmas, although without any of the big fanfare, the tinsel, the colored eggs, or even the big crowds. But you don't need me to tell the story of Pentecost for you again today. You know the story. There are gathered disciples. They are huddled together because they're afraid. The ruach of God, the wind, the breath of creation, of life, of newness, that breath that swept over the face of the water and formed our very existence. The violent wind, descending tongues of flame, words like bewildered and amazed and astonished. People speaking in different languages, yet with an ability to actually hear what was being spoken. And an experience of joy. Joy and ecstasy in God's presence, to the extent that folks thought the whole group was drunk. I'm glad you like that. You laughed a little too loud there, didn't you, Kelly? What happened on this day so long ago, obviously did not look like your typical Sunday morning service. It looked more like the aftermath of a party, a crazy, out of control, beyond ourselves birthday party. And that's how this whole thing called the church began. But just look around. It's different now, isn't it? But do you ever wonder why? Wonder why it's different? Don't misunderstand me. Throughout history, there have been those who I think have taken this concept of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to an extreme that I don't believe is of God, but rather an effort to be like God. Instead, what I'm speaking about is what would it be like to be so taken up with God, with such a powerful sense of God's presence, that those looking at us would think we're drunk, would see within us the raw ecstasy of what it means to be a child of the one who created it all. Reflections of an acute grace that amazes and astonishes those around us, utter abandon in our faith, utter clarity in feeling God so deeply that we can't help but go and tell the story. It can happen. It's happened before, and it can happen again. It can happen when we come to understand that Pentecost isn't just something that happened once, but instead, it's in that understanding that we know that Pentecost isn't over. Far from it. And why should we be surprised by that? In the gospel reading you heard today, Jesus makes a pretty astonishing promise. He tells his disciples that even if they're having a hard time believing what he says based on his words alone, at least they can believe it because of the works they've seen him do. And then he goes on to say this, "Listen, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these." Did you catch that? Did you hear that? We who believe in Jesus will do even greater works than he. Lives of feeding, of preaching, of healing, of resurrecting? And maybe the important question is, did you hear that? Maybe the important question is, do you believe it? And I'll confess that to you that I don't a lot of the time, because the whole thing seems just too astounding, too far-fetched, too much beyond my knowledge or experience. And maybe that's the point. Jesus promises you and me that advocate, the same Spirit that fell at that first Pentecost. And sometimes, aided by that advocate, we can see it all work. I see it in the people I'm around, continuing the story by sharing their faith, by living with joy and confidence, by claiming the immeasurable power of God in their lives, reaching out in love and mercy to those around them. And for 10 years, I've seen it in this wonderful parish we call home with more clarity than anywhere I've ever been, where we've opened ourselves to the possibility of being created anew by that Spirit, again and again and again. And the thing is, the more I name it, the more I see it, the easier it gets to name and then to see, and I guess that's how the whole thing works. May we continue to trust that the next Pentecost is happening in and through the things we do in this place, like tongues of flame in a world thirsting for what you already hold in your hearts. May we continue to anticipate the coming of that wind again and again that summons us to look inside ourselves and find something that calls us. Maybe it's a problem that needs solving. Maybe it's an opportunity that needs undertaking. But then to discover ourselves, our truest selves, by giving ourselves away. But be prepared. Be prepared, just like the Holy Spirit almost slapped me in the face when I was processing in. The Holy Spirit will sometimes slap you in the face, because I've never known anyone to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," so that we might never change. Instead, we pray for that wind that will make us different. Different than the crazy world around us, that allows us to love the unlovable, to be humble even when we're not, to forgive the unforgivable, to share what we have, and to care for what we've been given. It's the wind that sometimes blows against our very human nature into the nature of God. And maybe the point of Pentecost isn't merely remembering what happened on this day so long ago. Maybe the point is that it continues to happen, whether we recognize it or not. God love you. Amen.